The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
As I said, 46 landlords a week on average are leaving the Irish rental market. New figures from the Residential Tenancies Board show that 2,080 landlords have left the market so far this year, and it comes as the supply of rental accommodation hits an all-time low. I'm joined on the line by John Mark McCafferty, CEO of Threshold. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, there's always an argument about this, landlords leaving the market and why they're leaving the market. What is your understanding of this important sector being diminished?
Now, that line, apparently the signal keeps dropping, actually, so I'm only getting a little bit of the your question there. If you could repeat that there, Pat.
Sure. I'm just wondering what your understanding is of why this important sector of the rental market is diminishing.
Yeah, again, sorry, it's dropping every kind of 2 seconds every 6 seconds.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Yeah. We will call you again in a moment or so. I'll get to some of the texts from our listeners, and hopefully the line will be improved when we come back to you. That's probably the best thing to do. So some of the texts from Donal in Dublin. Any chance you could explain the science behind the idea of COVID certs at weddings, given that a vaccinated person can still be infected and be infectious? Well, Donal, the whole idea is if everyone there is vaccinated, the likelihood of a serious infection is going to be diminished. The likelihood that you'll all end up in hospital is going to be diminished because you have still a huge amount of protection from the vaccination. So if everyone there is vaccinated, there's going to be no major outbreak. If there are some unvaccinated people there, and as you mentioned, some vaccinated people may shed the virus, that unvaccinated person is a danger to themselves. They may catch COVID, or if they themselves are infectious, they may pass it around. So the idea being that if everyone is vaccinated, it is a safer place. Morning, Pat. I have a family wedding in a couple of weeks, and I know that some of the people are not vaccinated. There'll be about 80 people there. It's a worry with this new variant about. I wish the hotels were made to do the right thing, and everyone should have to produce their COVID cert. This wedding has already been cancelled once, so I feel for my family member, but I would feel a lot safer if things were done properly. How are hotels allowed to get away with not having to do the same as restaurants and pubs? It makes no sense. I'm triple vaxxed and should be okay, but I'm in an older age group and it's a big worry. Not turning up would be frowned upon as it's a close family wedding. It's a big worry. Thank you very much indeed. All right. So John is back on the desk. John Mark McCafferty, CEO of Threshold. So let's see if the line has improved. Good morning again.
Good morning, Pat, and apologies, not sure what happened there.
Okay, well, you can hear me loud and clear. So the question was, what's your understanding of why this important sector of the rental market, the small landlord, why that sector is diminishing now so rapidly?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of factors, but I think one of them is the fact that, you know, many of the smaller landlords, and remember, the vast majority of the private rented sector is made up of landlords that have only one or maybe two properties. Many were in negative equity, or many were weighing up their options. And I think just given how favourable the market is in terms of selling your property is, that is a massive factor in a lot of this. And I think that can't be underestimated, that now is a good time for people to sell, whether they're landlords or owner-occupiers.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, if the market is good, the price is good, so people who have been worried about all of this for a long time, they just want to cash in, even though the cash they get will get them no interest in the bank, as distinct from an income from letting a property.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, obviously, there have been a number of interventions in the market, but, you know, ultimately what we have seen since 2013 is a wholesale increase in rents, and a return that even with the rent pressure zones, which, you know, from 2016 right through till very recently was at 4%, that is a favourable return. And we've seen, you know, obviously very sustained rents, which have had a huge impact for many of the private renters that we advise and we assist in Threshold.
So therefore, you think it is counterintuitive that they'd be selling up at a time of such great returns in the market, but you know, there's statistics. And what is it? Lies, damn lies, and statistics. So the question is, what is the truth within those statistics? The people who are selling up, are they people who perhaps were under renting and then suddenly were caught by the rent pressure zones and are struggling to make sense of their investment?
Yeah, that's a possibility, but we're also mindful of the fact that there's legislation going through in the Dáil now that will enable landlords to mend their hand to some extent if their rents were below, if you like, market rate, and then the rent pressure zone limitations come in. But I guess what we've got to remember is these are limitations on the increase in rents. I mean, rents can still increase and do still increase over time. You know, so I think that's a really important kind of factor. I guess, you know, there are a whole other range of factors. You know, the Residential Tenancies Acts have become increasingly complicated, and they're very difficult for both landlords and tenants to understand and to navigate. But I think another key issue really is about the tax treatment of landlords, and especially smaller landlords. And given that the vast majority of landlords and tenancies are among those smaller tenancies of one and two properties, they have a very different tax treatment to, say, the real estate investment trusts. And so, you know, they're treated quite differently, and the income is treated quite differently. So we do believe there's further scope for retain landlords in the sector in relation
landlords
to the
constantly. They constantly complain about that the big guys who are set up as investment trusts, are limited companies effectively, have the kind of tax breaks that they don't get. The question of the tedium, though, that you say both landlords and tenants have to deal with all the regulations, I mean, are we copying other jurisdictions? I mean, is there any other jurisdiction that does it better in a more efficient way?
Yes, good question. I suppose we do take a lead from a lot of the English-speaking countries, often Scotland, actually, but also other places like maybe New Zealand. I think there's a lot to be learned from Canada as well. But I think that's where you can get best practice, where you do look at what's happening maybe elsewhere in the EU or elsewhere, you know, among, if you like, the OECD countries, to see what they do with regard to rental markets and rental properties. And it's a delicate balance. It's a really delicate balance because we in Threshold, we want a vibrant private rented sector and we want sufficient, you know, supply. We are really kind of aware that the vast majority of properties are with small landlords, and certainly for our clients who are on kind of middle to lower incomes, it does tend to be the smaller landlords, the REITs and the big investment firms don't tend to house so many of the clients we're working with, and you've that delicate balance between supply and regulation.
That's why the so-called mom and pop landlord is so important in your sector. There's loads of regulations which are kind of general, but nothing very specific. I mean, for example, the quality of accommodation, the location of the accommodation. None of these are regulated in this jurisdiction. In other jurisdictions, the quality, the location, all of those will factor into maximum rents.
They will, yeah, and I think, you know, every time there's a change in legislation, there's you know, a response from a particular sector about the complexity or the you know, the level of protections or the lack of protections, and obviously we are advocating for stronger protections for tenancies, because that's our job. Our job is to protect tenancies and to keep families and individuals in their rented home. And we're also mindful that, you know, landlords are not one homogenous group. They're not all the same. There's large landlords, medium and small landlords. And then within the small landlords, there's a whole range of motivations and circumstances and factors. And I think that's why, I suppose, over time, and in response to changing circumstances, you know, legislation has had to change. For example, you know, the 4% cap was reduced to, it was seen to be reduced to, or intended to be reduced to, be tied to inflation, as soon as that became reality, inflation increased from, you know, 1 or 2% right up to 4 to 5%. So things happen very, very quickly. And in this market, things are happening very, very quickly. And government needs to respond quite deftly. And as a result of that, we have this raft of legislation, especially in the COVID era, where we had a variety of different pieces of legislation last year to respond to, you know, to come in with the or introduce the moratoria to ensure that the tenants weren't exposed at a period of crisis and that period of, you know, a drop in income and that kind of thing.
Right.
And many landlords have responded positively as well.
Yeah, but the response that's needed now is something to keep the small landlord in the market rather than selling up. That's the kind of deft response that you're calling for now.
Yeah, I mean, like there was a task force about 5 years ago on tax treatment of landlords, and we'd like to see some action in relation to those discussions. It's not even clear, you know, whether there's any consensus on the conversations that were had there, but certainly, you know, smaller landlords are in a very, very different position to the more favourable institutional landlords.
All right.
We
will leave it there.
There.
John Mark McCafferty, CEO of Threshold, thank you very much for joining us.